Start with Jesus, stay with Jesus, end with Jesus, for Jesus is life. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am Deacon Bob Angelich, and I am from St. Elizabeth Seton in Carmel, Indiana. Occasionally, my travels will bring me back to the Houston area, and when they do, I will always try to stay the weekend and join St. Cyril in worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A thank you to Father Mario, your pastor, and our very fine celebrant this morning, Father Scott, for allowing me to come in and join you. You know, come wintertime in Indiana, I can almost guarantee I will find my way back to Houston several times. Let's start today with a simple and obvious truth. We are all God's creation. And since we are God's creation, made in His image, all of life then is interrelated. We are created to be relational with each other throughout our lives. Now, God tells us this in many different ways. You know, think of the Ten Commandments. Each commandment is relational either to God or to each other. Have no other gods. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Keep holy the Sabbath. These commandments are showing us how or how not to relate to God. Don't lie. Don't kill. Honor thy father and mother. Now, these commandments are showing us how or how not to relate to one another. And then we see it several times in Scripture. This comes from Matthew chapter 22. A scholar of the law asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the greatest?" And Jesus says, "Love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else depends on this." Jesus is telling us that everything in life depends on a relationship of love we have with God and a relationship of love we have with each other. And then in today's gospel reading, Jesus expands the concept of the family relationships to beyond just blood relatives. He expands that family relationship now to be defined as all of us are family who do God's will. The entire Bible is about relationships. Us to God, God to us, relationships with each other. So we must fully understand how we relate to each other does matter to God. Amen?
Amen.
Humanity cannot escape this simple truth. But rather than accept the godly truth that we are all interrelated, humanity goes out of its way to try and fight this truth. The levels and ways of dividing and divorcing ourselves from one another is immense. We divide ourselves by race, ethnic background, economic status, sexual orientation, political beliefs, religions, and this is just to name a few. It's like we sort of suffer a selective blindness. Rather than seeing that all of us are interrelated, all too often all we see is the superficial. We see somebody's skin color. We see their economic status. And we cannot move past those. And in doing so, we miss their humanity. Now, I would like to stand up here and say the only ones guilty of this are the non-believers. But it applies to many who claim to be Christian. Now, the willingness to divide and divorce ourselves from each other oftentimes is a conscious choice by some, and they thrive on that division. And for those people, we should pray that God touches their darkened heart and they see the light. But for many Christians, unfortunately, I think there can be kind of an acceptance sometimes of the way we divide ourselves as a people. And I think part of the issue is it might flow from a complacency about our faith. You know, it's kind of easy to slide into a comfortable, unchallenged level of faith. And without realizing it, that uncomfortable faith leads us to being lukewarm. Lukewarm in how we approach and how we live out the Word of God. Now, the risen Jesus warns us of this issue. From Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "I know your deeds. You are neither hot nor cold. Because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. When faith is lukewarm, when faith is not the hard driver of how we conduct our lives, selective worldly blindness can kind of creep in and cloud our visions. Now, for Catholics, when you talk about our faith, a lot of our faith revolves around the Mass. And let's admit, the Sunday Mass can be a little redundant, a little repetitive at times. So we must guard against letting the routine of the Mass dim our participation to the point that we lose its meaning. For when the Mass loses its meaning and impact, we run the risk of allowing our vision to cloud up and for that Mass to be taken for granted. And then if we start to take that Mass for granted, we then miss out on the life-changing significance of the high point of the Mass. Now, the high point of the Mass is not the sermon. It's not the readings. It's not the Nicene Creed. That's all fantastic stuff. But the high point of the Mass is the Holy Eucharist. The high point of any Mass is receiving the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And in the Holy Eucharist, what we receive at Mass shows three important parts of our faith every Sunday. First, God came physically present in the person of Jesus. God came and walked among his creation. Jesus was fully human, with the same range of human emotions as you and me. So yes, true God, but yes, true man. From John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Never lose sight of Jesus' humanity and all that comes with being fully human. The second thing the Holy Eucharist tells us is that God continues to be present in us, his people. We are the body of Christ in his church. We are not spectators off to the side watching Jesus as if he's in some sort of movie. All of us present are members of the very body of Christ. And our lives need to show that 24/7, not just for the 1 hour here at Mass on Sunday morning. And the third item that the Holy Eucharist shows us is that the very presence of God is made available to us every Sunday here at the altar. Now, it comes in the form of bread and wine. But we all understand it does not remain as bread and wine. It becomes the very body, the very blood of Christ. The bread and wine we offer here at the Catholic Mass is not symbolic. From John chapter 6, Jesus says, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." The Holy Eucharist is very real. Now, besides these three important elements of our faith, what is also so fantastic about the Holy Eucharist is it is a gift given to us by God. There is nothing you or I could do to earn this gift. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. But it is given to us through the love and mercy of our God. Frankly, it's a level of love and mercy that is beyond what we can imagine. The divine gift of Jesus from him to us is what this Mass is about. Amen?
Amen.
So now I want to kind of sort of come off that theological platform and bring it right back here to the Mass today. For in a few moments, we're going to start to come forward and receive the bread and wine. Now, it's going to look like it always does at every Mass. People will stand up in their pew and they'll wait. And then they'll come out into the aisle. Then they'll work their way down front. And once they come down front, a priest, a deacon, a Eucharistic minister will then place a host into the outstretched hands, because that's how the vast majority of people receive. And then they will retreat back to their pews. And honestly, a few will skip out the door and head to their car. You know, I've watched this for years, week in, week out, Mass after Mass. And again, if we're not careful, the act of receiving the Eucharist then can also become just a ritual, just another part of the Mass we do because that's when we're supposed to do it. And when that happens, We then lose the significance of Holy Communion. And then we take Holy Communion for granted. I will say it simply and plainly. We cannot allow this. We can never slip into mindlessly taking the host because it's that ritual time of the Mass. So today I'm asking all of you, as you come down the aisle, think about, pray over the gift you are about to receive. And when you step forward and you hold that hand out, listen with all your being. Really listen with all your being to the four words that are spoken to you. The body of Christ. Hear those words as if it were the first time. And let them penetrate deep into your heart. Focus on nothing else. The body of Christ. And then consider what's being put into your hand. Look at what you're holding. You know, it's not very big. It's not much bigger than a quarter. It doesn't weigh very much. Probably weighs the same about as a simple paperclip. And with its weight and size, it's almost insignificant. But it isn't. For that small white wafer has become the body of Christ, and it carries the weight and the only hope of this world. When you take that host, understand what is in your hands. For the body you are holding in your hands is the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, who healed the bleeding woman, drove demons out of a man at Capernaum. The body you are holding in your hand is the one who calmed the storm, walked on water, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. That is what you hold in your hands, not some small white wafer. And then when you raise that thing, when you raise the body and you put it in your mouth, you are being fed again by the one who fed the hungry multitudes when there was nothing. This is the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
He gave himself up on the cross for all of us. And he gives us the gift of himself again in the Eucharist. It is the greatest gift in the world. And we recognize we are not worthy of this gift. And that's why we pray before receiving. Lord, I am not worthy. Don't let the vestments fool you. Lord, I am not worthy. But you come under my roof. And with only your word, Lord, with only your word, my soul shall be healed. This is the body of Christ. It is the body that came to save us 2,000 years ago. It is the body that has prayed for us, cried for us, given up for us to be beaten, whipped, and nailed to a cross. It is the body that died for us. And it is the body that rose out of the grave so that the chains of death holding us down forever are broken. From John chapter 6, Jesus says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." Do not confine your reverence for this gift just today. Have reverence for it each and every time you step out of the pew and you come down to receive. And I encourage everyone, after receiving, go back to your pews and pray upon your relationship with Jesus. Pray upon your relationship with your brothers and sisters and what this gift of life means to you. Appreciate the gift of the Holy Spirit. Never demean that gift by losing its significance. Never let your mind or your actions take his body for granted. Amen?
Amen.
And then at the end of the Mass, when you are going back outside these doors and back into your daily lives, recognize you are a vessel of Jesus Christ. You are a mission and a witness of Jesus' word and love in this world. And it is a world that desperately needs it. Do not be blinded by worldly views. Be fervent in your faith. Look past the artificial man-made divisions and see the Christ-centered humanity of all your brothers and sisters. We are entirely interrelated. We are the body of Christ. Thank you, St. Cyril. It is my privilege to be back here again this weekend. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go, and may he bless you all your days.